You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Blessed John Erolto, who, through humility, called himself the disciple, relates that there was once a married man who lived in disgrace in the sight of God. His wife, a virtuous woman, not being able to induce him to abandon his vicious life, entreated him that, at least while he was in so miserable a condition, that he would offer this devotion to the Mother of God, namely to say a Hail Mary every time he passed before her altar. He accordingly began to practice this seemingly innocuous devotion, and so it was that on one night, when he was about to commit a sin, he saw a light, and on closer observation, perceived that it was a lamp burning before a holy image of the Blessed Virgin, who held the infant Jesus in her arms. He said a Hail Mary, as usual, but what did he see? He saw the infant covered with wounds and fresh blood flowing from them. Both terrified and moved in his feelings, he remembered that he himself too had wounded his Redeemer by his sins, and so began to weep. But he observed that the child turned away from him. In deep confusion, he had recourse to the Most Holy Virgin, saying, "Mother of Mercy, thy son rejects me. I can find no advocate more kind and more powerful than thou, who art his mother. My queen, aid me, and pray to him in my behalf." The Divine Mother answered him from that image, "You sinners call me Mother of Mercy, but yet you do not cease to make me Mother of Misery, renewing the passion of my son and my dolors. But because Mary never sends away disconsolate those who cast themselves at her feet, she began to entreat her son that he would pardon that miserable sinner." And so it was that Jesus continued to show himself unwilling to grant such a pardon. But the Holy Virgin, placing the infant in the niche, prostrated herself before him, saying, "My son, I will not leave thy feet until thou hast pardoned this sinner." "My mother," answered Jesus, "I can deny thee nothing. Dost thou wish for his pardon? For love of thee, I will pardon him. Let him come and kiss my wounds." The sinner approached, weeping bitterly, and as he kissed the wounds of the infant, they were healed. Then Jesus embraced him as a sign of pardon. And so it was that that man changed his conduct, led a holy life, and was ever full of love to the Blessed Virgin, who had obtained for him so great a favor. Can the faith of this gentleman, this sinner, be found in my parish and yours today. Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. Through the writings of the ancient church fathers, the saints, and mystics of the church, and as we have been doing this last while, through the writings of St. Alphonsus Liguori, entitled The Glories of Mary. And so it is today we continue on this journey to this most extraordinary book, a book that helps to pierce the veils of all these divine mysteries as they relate to the Queen of Heaven, the Blessed Mother, the Mother of our Lord.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As St. Alphonsus Liguori writes, in the revelations of St. Bridget, Mary is called the star going before the sun, by which we are to understand that when devotion to the Divine Mother first dawns in a sinful soul, it is a certain sign that God will soon come to enrich her with his grace. How fascinating that is to think of it. That really, the Blessed Mother is like the star, like the star of Bethlehem leading you to that manger. Star that enlightens your soul, illuminates the way, the path for us pilgrims here on earth to take in this pilgrimage here on earth. He goes on to write that the glorious Saint Bonaventure, in order to revive in the hearts of sinners confidence in the protection of Mary, represents to us the sea in a tempest in which sinners who have fallen from the bark, and this I guess would be like the bark of Peter, the bark of divine grace, tossed about by remorse of conscience and by fear of divine justice, without light and without a guide, have almost lost the breath of hope and are nearly sinking in despair. At this critical moment, the saint, pointing to Mary, who is commonly called the Star of the Sea, raises his voice and exclaims, "O poor lost sinners, do not despair. Lift your eyes to the beautiful star. Take courage and trust, for she will guide you out of the tempest and bring you to the port of safety." The church is commonly referred to as the bark of Peter, a reflection, an echo of the ark of Noah, in which only those who were within the ark were saved. Those who were outside the ark were lost. And so it is with Holy Mother Church. There is only safety within the bark of Peter. And sometimes it seems like this bark is this ark that we are on has its ups and its downs. And sometimes you've got some crazy people at the helm of this ship. Sometimes you have the crew, a crazy crew, causing problems and confusion on the ship. But whatever the case may be, don't leave the ship. Stay on board. Use the Blessed Mother as the star of the sea, which will guide this ship, battered and bruised though it may be, to the port of heaven. Don't get off the ship. Stay on board. There is no salvation outside this ship, led and guided by the Blessed Mother. He goes on to write that Saint Bernard has said the same thing. If you would not be overwhelmed in the tempest, turn to this star and call Mary to thy aid. The devout Blosius also says that she is the only refuge for those who have offended God, the asylum of those who are tempted and afflicted. This Mother of Mercy is all kindness and all sweetness, not only with the just, but also with sinners and those who are in despair, so that when she beholds them turning towards her and sees that they are with sincerity and humility, seeking her help, she at once welcomes them and aids them and obtains their pardon from her son. She neglects none, however unworthy they may be, and refuses to none her protection. She consoles all, and no sooner do they call upon her than she hastens to their help. With her gentleness, she often wins their devotion and raises those sinners who are most averse to God and who are the most deeply plunged in the lethargy of their vices, that she may dispose them to receive divine grace and at last render themselves worthy of eternal glory. He goes on to write that God has created this, his beloved daughter, with a disposition so kind and compassionate that no one can hesitate to have recourse to her intercession. And so it is that the devout writer concludes with saying, "It is not possible that anyone could be lost who, with exactness and humility, practices devotion to this divine mother." How true. He goes on to write that she, the Blessed Mother, is called a plane tree. And when I read that, I had no idea what that referred to. But he goes on to explain that as a plane tree was I exalted, sinners may understand by this that as the plane tree gives shelter to a traveler where they may take refuge from the heat of the sun, so I guess this would be a tree, a type of tree with probably wide branches and leaves along the side of the road, which would give refuge to the traveler from the heat, the overbearing heat of the noonday sun. And so it is, he goes again, as this tree gives a shelter to travelers where they may take refuge from the heat of the sun, thus Mary, when she sees the anger of divine justice kindled against them, invites them to resort to the shelter of her protection. So just as this tree provides shelter, refuge, and protection from pilgrims, travelers, along the road, from the heat of the sun, so it is that the Blessed Mother provides protection, shelter, and a refuge for sinners from the anger of the divine justice, which is kindled against them. Saint Bonaventure remarks that Isaiah, in his day, lamented and said, "Behold, thou art angry, and we have sinned, and there is none that riseth up and taketh hold of thee." Because Mary was not yet born into the world. But now, if God is offended with any sinner, unlike as referred to by Isaiah in the Old Testament, but now if God is offended with any sinner, because the Blessed Mother has been born into the world, and Mary undertakes to protect him, she restrains the Son from punishing him and saves him. And also, continues Saint Bonaventure, no one can be found more fit than Mary to place her hand upon the sword of divine justice, that it may not descend upon the head of the sinner. Richard of St. Lawrence expresses the same thought when he says that God lamented before the birth of Mary that there was no one to restrain him from punishing the sinner. But Mary being born, she appeases him. What an extraordinary thought that is. that we are in a time really of true divine mercy, most of which is due to the intercession of the Blessed Mother, who continuously intercedes on our behalf with her Son, with the King of Justice, with divine justice, to have mercy upon us. He goes on to write that Saint Basil encourages sinners with the same thought and says, O sinner, be not timid, but in all thy necessities flee to Mary, invoke her aid, and thou wilt find her always ready to assist thee. For it is the divine will that she should aid all men in all their necessities. And so it is that this Mother of Mercy has such a desire to save the most abandoned sinners that she even goes to seek them out. And if they have recourse to her, she will surely find a method of rendering them dear to God. The Blessed Virgin, he writes, herself revealed to Saint Bridget that no sinner in the world is so great an enemy to God that if he has recourse to her and invokes her aid, does not return to God and is not restored to his favor. And the same Saint Bridget heard one day that Jesus Christ saying to his mother that she could obtain the divine favor even for Lucifer if he would humble himself so far as to ask her help. And yet that proud spirit would never stoop to implore the protection of Mary. But if such a thing could happen, Mary would take pity upon him, and the power of her prayers would obtain from God his pardon and salvation. What an extraordinary thought that is, revealed by St. Alphonsus Liguori, who is again simply echoing the writings and sentiments of the Church Fathers, saints, and mystics of the Church. And yet with that in mind, he goes on to say, but what cannot happen to the devil may well happen to sinners who seek the help of this Mother of Mercy. Noah's Ark also prefigured Mary, because as in that all the animal creation found refuge, so under the mantle of Mary all sinners find protection, who have made themselves like the brutes by their vices and sensuality. With this difference, however, says a certain author, that the brutes, the animals that enter into the ark and remain brutes still, the wolf remained a wolf, the tiger a tiger, but under the mantle of Mary, the wolf becomes a lamb and the tiger becomes a dove. St. Gertrude once saw Mary with her mantle outspread, and under it wild beasts of various kinds, leopards, lions, and bears, and the Virgin not only did not drive them from her, but with her gentle hand kindly received them and caressed them. And so it was that the saint understood that these wild beasts were miserable sinners who, when they take refuge with Mary, are received by her with sweetness and love. Justly then did Saint Bernard say to the Virgin, O Lady, thou dost abhor no sinner, however abandoned and vile he may be, when he has recourse to thee. If he asks thy help, thou wilt condescend to extend thy kind hand to draw to draw him from the depths of despair. O ever blessed and thanked be our God, O most amiable Mary, who made thee so merciful and kind towards the most miserable of sinners, O wretched are those who do not love thee, and who have it in their power to seek help of thee, and do not trust in thee. He who does not implore the aid of Mary is lost. But he who has ever been lost that had recourse to thee, who could ever be lost, who indeed has recourse to thee, the Blessed Mother, Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Mercy.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zompanti.
St. Alphonsus goes on to write that a certain St. Antoninus relates that a sinner, finding himself in disgrace before God, imagined himself standing before the tribunal of Jesus Christ. The devil was accusing him, and Mary was defending him. The enemy presented against this poor criminal the catalogue of his offenses, which placed in the balance of divine justice far outweighed his good works. But what then did this great advocate do? She, the Blessed Mother, extended her kind hand and placed it on the other scale. And so it was that it descended in favor of her supplicant. And thus it was given him to understand that she would obtain his pardon if he would change his life. And indeed, after that vision, he was converted and changed his life. As I've mentioned in previous programs and sessions, with respect to the various Marian apparitions, approved Marian apparitions that have occurred over the last few centuries, one common element in many of them is that the Blessed Mother is weeping. She seems to be exhibiting a pain that she is carrying. And much of the messages that the Blessed Mother has come to give is that of a warning. That the Blessed Mother, in those apparitions, is not coming to give us the two thumbs up, saying, hey guys, you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work. That's not what she's saying in these apparitions. Rather, what she is saying, that we are on the road to perdition. We sinners are casting our souls into hell. The church is going to go through turmoil. That we must amend our ways or we will face a chastisement. In other words, she is saying, whether it is Our Lady of Knock, La Salette, at Fatima, at Akita, Blessed Mother is saying, get down on your knees, make reparation, pray, 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 do penance. Because the warning truly is, whether it is taken as you and I, as a sinner individually, or as our in our culture or in the world generally, Blessed Mother is basically saying that if you don't get on your knees, God will bring you to your knees. If we get on our knees and make prayers and sacrifices, that is called reparation. But when God brings you to your knees, unwilling that we are as a culture, that is called chastisement. When we get on our knees willingly before God, it is reparation. But when God is forced to bring you, proud people, to your knees, that is called chastisement. Keep that in mind as we go through the writings here. And there's a prayer that St. Alphonsus has here where he says this: I venerate, O most pure Virgin Mary, thy most sacred heart, which was the delight and repose of God, a heart filled with humility, purity, and divine love. Things that are missing in our culture today, where instead of humility, pride is rampant in our culture. Where instead of purity, sensuality is the order of the day. He goes on to write, I, an unhappy sinner, come to thee with a heart filled with uncleanness and wounds. O Mother of Mercy, do not on this account despise me, but let it excite thee to a greater compassion and come to my help. Come to my aid. Do not look for virtue or merits in me before thou grantest me thy aid. I am lost and only merit hell. And the same there can be said with our culture. That we are lost and our culture deserves chastisement for our sins. The sins of the nation. Whereby our nation now, if you think of it, is more day by day resembling Sodom and Gomorrah rather than the heavenly Jerusalem. He goes on to write, "Look at nothing, I pray thee, but the confidence that I have in thee and the desire I cherish of amending my life. Look at what Jesus has done and suffered for me, and then abandon me if thou canst. I offer to thee all the afflictions of life, the cold that he suffered in the stable, his journey to Egypt, the blood that he shed, his poverty, toil, sweat, and sadness, the death he endured in thy presence for love of me, and for the love of Jesus, promise to save me. Ah, my mother, I will not and I cannot fear that thou wilt cast me from thee. When I flee to thee and implore thy help. To fear this would be unjust to thy mercy, which seeks the miserable to relieve them. O Lady, do not refuse thy compassion to him to whom Jesus has not refused his blood. But the merits of his blood will not be applied to me if thou dost not recommend me to God. From thee I hopes for salvation. I do not ask of thee riches or honors or the other goods of earth. I only ask of thee the grace of God, love for thy Son, the fulfillment of his will, and paradise where I may love him eternally. Is it possible that thou wilt not hear me? No. Already thou dost hear me, as I hope. Already thou art praying for me. Already thou art procuring me the favors that I ask already. Thou art receiving me under thy protection. My mother, do not leave me. Continue to pray for me until thou seest me safe in heaven at thy feet to bless and thank thee through all eternity." What a beautiful prayer there written by St. Alphonsus Liguori. He goes on to write here that we poor children of the unhappy Eve, guilty before God of her sin and condemned to the same punishment, go wandering through this valley of tears, exiles from our country, weeping and afflicted by the innumerable pains of body and soul. But blessed is he who, in the midst of so many miseries, turns to the consoler of the world, to the refuge of the unhappy, to the great Mother of God, and devoutly invokes her and supplicates her. Blessed is the man that heareth me and that watcheth daily at my gates. Blessed, says Mary, is he who listens to my counsels and incessantly watches at the door of my mercy, invoking my help and intercession. The Holy Church instructs us, her children, with how great attention and confidence we should have continually in recourse to this, our loving protectress, ordaining special devotions to her, that during the year many festivals should be celebrated in her honor, that one day of the week should be especially consecrated to her. that every day in the divine office, all ecclesiastics, priests, bishops and cardinals, and members of religious orders should invoke her in behalf of the whole Christian people. And that three times a day, all the faithful, at the sound of the bell, should salute her. This will suffice to show how, in all seasons of public calamity, the Holy Church always directs her children to have recourse to the Divine Mother with novenas, prayers, processions, and visits to her churches and altars. This Mary herself wishes us to do, namely, always to invoke and supplicate her, not to ask our homage and praise, which are too poor in comparison with her merit, but that our confidence and devotion to her thus increasing, she may aid and console us more. She seeks such as approach her devoutly and reverently, says St. Bonaventure. These she cherishes, loves, and adopts as her children. Here, basically, the saints are saying that the Blessed Mother wants you to pray, wants you to do the novenas, wants you to visit her. For the simple reason that in doing so, you're allowing her then to help you. She wants you to do all these things for her so that she can turn around and help you. She wants you to come to knocking on her door of mercy in humility so that she can open that door, take you by the hand, pray to her Son that he shower his graces upon you. The Blessed Mother only asks for the opportunity to intercede on our behalf. The Blessed Mother only wants that opportunity that we freely give in humility. Blessed Mother, intervene, intercede for us. That's all she wants. The opportunity to intercede on our behalf with her Son. He goes on to write, this same Bonaventure says that Mary was prefigured by Ruth in the Old Testament, whose name being interpreted signifies seeing and hastening. For Mary, seeing our miseries, hastens to aid us by her compassion. To which Novarino adds that Mary is so desirous to do us good that she can bear no delay in not being a miserly keeper of her favors, but the Mother of Mercy, she cannot restrain herself from dispensing as soon as possible among her servants the treasures of her liberality. Oh, how ready is this good mother to aid him who invokes her. And so it is that the same author assures us that the mercy of Mary is bestowed on all who ask it, though they offer no prayer but a Hail Mary. Hence, Novarino affirms that the Blessed Virgin not only hastens but flies to aid those who have recourse to her. She says, this author, in exercising mercy, cannot but resemble God. For as the Lord hastens to succor those who ask help from him, being very faithful to observe the promise which he has made to us, ask and you shall receive. And so Mary, when she is invoked, immediately hastens to help those who call upon her. And it seems like in the last 50, 60 years in the church's history, there's been a distinct decline in the traditional Marian devotions of old. It seems that the Blessed Mother, by too many Catholics, has become neglected. That all these various sacramentals, various devotions, and the rosaries have fallen by the wayside and are only picked up just here and there by Catholics. And yet here, the Blessed Mother, the saints have said, sometimes it's just that one Hail Mary that we say with devotion, with which then we do not know when, we do not know how. Sometimes even through that just one Hail Mary, that the Blessed Mother will be able to intercede for us. And in the hour of our need, have that grace, have her Son grant us that grace. But when that grace comes knocking in our door, will we be the one to open that door or to turn that grace away? He goes on to write, she, the Blessed Mother, has the greatest desire to console all. And she scarcely hears herself invoked before she graciously receives the petition and comes to our aid. Justly then, St. Bonaventure calls Mary the salvation of those who invoke her, signifying that to be saved, it is sufficient to appeal to this Divine Mother, who, according to Richard of St. Lawrence, is always ready to aid those who pray to her. For as St. Bernardine de Bustis says, this great lady is more desirous to confer favors upon us than we are to receive them. And neither should the multitude of our sins diminish our confidence that we shall be graciously heard by Mary, if we cast ourselves at her feet. She is the Mother of Mercy, and there would be no occasion for mercy if there were no wretchedness to be relieved. Therefore, as a good mother does not hesitate to apply a remedy to her child, however loathsome its disease, although the cure may be troublesome and disgusting, thus our good mother does not abandon us when we recur to her, however great may be the filth of our sins, which she comes to cure. And this sentiment is taken from Richard of St. Lawrence. And so it is that Mary intended to signify the same when she appeared to St. Gertrude, spreading her mantle to receive all who had recourse to her. And at the same time, it was given the saint to understand that the angels are waiting to defend the devout suppliants of Mary from the assaults of hell itself. Pray, pray, pray to the Blessed Mother that she intercede with her Son on your behalf and on behalf of your family. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Shema Israel.
have been listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.